Amen. Well, please be seated. So, ordination describes the biblical concept of God appointing a man into the gospel ministry. This is where a local church affirms that a man is called by the Lord to serve as a pastor. This is a high calling, a calling with a great responsibility, a calling that will present itself in three ways: an upward call, an inward call, and an outward call. This calling begins with an upward call, where God gifts a man to serve as a pastor, elder of a church. And this man meets qualifications according to God's holy word. His character, his household, his gifting, his doctrine, his commitment. Then you have the inward call. The man whom the Lord gifts, that man will aspire and desire to serve as a pastor. The inward call is so strong, one man is remembered as saying, it is fire in the bones that he must do it. Charles Spurgeon's words in lectures to his students, he said this: this desire should be one which continues with us, a passion which bears the test of a trial, a longing from which it is quite impossible for us to escape, though we may have tried to do so. A desire, in fact, which grows more intense by the lapse of years, until it becomes a yearning, a pining, a famishing to proclaim the word. This intense desire is so noble and beautiful a thing that whenever I perceive it glowing in any young man's bosom, I am always slow to discourage him. Even though I may have my doubts as to his abilities, it may be needful for reason to be given you further on to repress the flame, but it should always be reluctantly and wisely done. I have such a profound respect for this fire in the bones that if I did not feel it myself, I must leave the ministry at once. If you do not feel the consecrated glow, I beseech you, return to your homes and serve God in your proper spheres. But if assuredly the coals of juniper blaze within, do not stifle them, unless indeed other considerations of great moment should prove to you that the desire is not a fire of heavenly origin. A call to serve as a pastor, that calling is from the Lord. And the men who are called are gifts to the congregation, to that church, as long as they serve the church according to the sacred scriptures, to what God has said. Those who are called, they yearn to do the work. It is not a position to hold, it is a work to do. It is a work to do. A fire to preach, to teach, a fire to shepherd the congregation, a pining to serve as an under-shepherd, knowing that the flock is not his, but it is the Lord's. It has been entrusted to him, for the church has been purchased by the blood of Christ. As a pastor who has served for many years, I'm constantly reminded that this is not my church. This church has not been purchased by my blood, it's been purchased by the blood of Christ. It's an upward call and an inward call, and there's also an outward call. A local church will affirm or not affirm that man is called to serve as an under-shepherd of that particular flock. So do we as Foundation Baptist Church recognize and affirm the calling of Blake McCamey? Yes, we do. At the time of our autonomy, 95% of the church affirmed this call. Therefore, today is a reminder for Blake, it's a reminder for this church, and it's also a celebration. A reminder for Blake, that you have a responsibility to fulfill your calling, to serve as a pastor of this church, to shepherd this flock, to preach the word of God, nothing less and nothing more, sola scriptura. Foundation, we have the responsibility to hold up God's word and make sure that Blake is fulfilling his calling, just as you do with my life. Richard Baxter said in his book concerning the men who are called, that God hath determined in his word that there shall be such an office. And what the work and power of that office shall be, and what sort of men as to their qualifications shall receive it, None of these can be undone by man or made unnecessary. God also giveth men the qualifications which he requireth, so that all that the church hath to do, whether pastors or people, ordainers or electors, is but to discern and determine which are the men that God hath thus qualified, and to accept of them that are so provided, and upon consent to install them solemnly in this office. What an obligation then is laid upon us by our call to the work. So for the next few minutes that we are gathered here, I want us all to be reminded of the qualifications of the men who serve as pastors. So if you will, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let us be reminded that God's word is sufficient. God's word is infallible. It is inerrant. It is authoritative. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 16. It says, all scripture is God-breathed. It's profitable for teaching, reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent and equipped for every good work. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. They will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded. Endure suffering. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. For I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. These words, Paul scripted, he wrote down for his departure from this earth into his heavenly dwelling. And he was informing young Timothy, all the hardships and trials that you've seen me go through, all the suffering that you've seen us, that we have endured together, preach the word. Continue to preach the word. The first thing, God's word is sufficient. Know it and preach it. Many pastors have forsaken the word of God for entertainment and the puny ideas of men. It has no power. It's powerless. The Bible is what God has breathed out for us to know and to preach. So the reading and exposition of the Word of God is powerful. So preach the Word, Blake, always. The Word, it teaches, it rebukes, it corrects, it trains us in righteousness. It is alive and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. This is what has been entrusted to pastors, to handle it with care, boldness, and great precision, to examine the scriptures, to know what the scriptures say, to be able to defend it. You know, a battleground for today, it's a sufficiency of the word of God, and I promise you it is sufficient, that the word is enough. Just preach the word. The second thing, abide in the word of God so that you properly are able that you are properly equipped to shepherd this flock. Abide in the word of God so that you are properly equipped to shepherd this flock. Phone calls, text messages, emails, scheduled meetings, the plethora of unscheduled meetings, counseling sessions, hospital visits, discipleship, evangelism encounters, every soul needs the word of God. If you are not abiding, you will not give them what they need. When you fail to abide in the word of God, you will fail to pray. You will fail to shepherd your home. You will fail in feeding this flock, which is the Lord's flock, and they need the word. So bathe yourself in the word of God. Soak in it, even when it is difficult. In hard seasons, it is what we are called to live on. Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Psalm 119, blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in his ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rules. I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. And Jesus in John 15, he said, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. It's always important to remember that no matter how much knowledge we have, no matter how much we have studied the scriptures, no matter our physical age, we have never arrived. We could spend lifetime after lifetime after lifetime diving into the Word of God. Remain a daily student of the Word. No matter how many years you have followed the Lord or how many sermons you have preached, you are not the Lord. You are always in need of Him. Always. God's Word is sufficient. Know it, preach it, and abide in it. Thirdly, we live in a time when many do not want to hear, thus saith the Lord. They don't want to hear that. But this is the truth that you have been called to preach, Blake. Many do not examine the scriptures. Many do not preach the scriptures when it is proclaimed. And when God's word is proclaimed, many don't want it. And so they leave. Many want their ears tickled so that they can elevate themselves, live comfortable lives, and ignore the commands of God. Preach the word. Do not settle for what will not last and is already fading. The tickling of the ears is sinful and it is powerless. Blake, I love working with you, brother. Your love for the Lord is evident. Your love for your wife and your children and your family is clearly seen in how you care for them and shepherd them. Your desire to be faithful to the word, your earnestness in studying the scriptures late at night, early in the morning, and wanting to make sure that you get it right, that is a work of God. And we praise God for what he's doing. And I beg of you to keep asking yourself the question over and over and over again, is this profitable? Keep it up, man. Colossians 2, verse 8, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. Matthew 10:28, do not fear those who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Hebrews 10, verse 31, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Ephesians 4:11-12, he gave the apostles, the prophets, evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ. So if you're going to equip the saints, you must preach the word. That without the preached word, the saints will not be properly equipped for the work of the ministry. And this is why we see so many churches that are filled with so many people doing absolutely little for the kingdom of God, because the word of God is not preached. Remember, you have a responsibility to the flock, but you are not responsible for the flock. Trust the Lord with the results. Trust the Lord with the results. Endure suffering as God's servant. Men and women in this church, at times, they will not want the word of God, but it's always what they need. Preach the word. Feed them the word. And remember truly what success is. Success is being faithful to a holy God. It is not what the world calls success, a bigger building, a bigger church. Numbers and growth, these things belong to the Lord. The grass is not greener on the other side, brother. The grass is greener where you water it. So stay, preach the word, pray, water, feed them the word. I love the words of John Brown. For the longest time, I couldn't find who wrote it. He says, I know the vanity of your heart, that you will feel mortified that your congregation is very small in comparison with those of your brethren around you. But assure yourself on the word of an old man, that when you come to give an account of them to the Lord Christ at his judgment seat, you will think that you have had enough. A local flock needs men who will shepherd them, pray for them, preach the word to them, and stay with them. Men who will walk with them and constantly point them to Jesus. Be faithful to the word. Be faithful to your calling. 1 Corinthians 3:7-8. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. Remain humble. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. God grows his church in his timing. Growth is a work of God. It's not a work of man. Remain obedient and patient, trying to grow the Lord's church in your own strength will not produce eternal results. Remain humble. No church belongs to any man. The bride of Christ belongs to Christ. You are a servant. You are an under-shepherd, so follow your orders. Do as you have been told and do so with great humility and work hard. You're working for the Lord. Do the work of an evangelist. Share the gospel in all seasons of life. That means when it's convenient and especially when it's not convenient. Continue to preach the word. Pay attention to your own life, your doctrine. Be sure you're watering your wife in the word of God. Shepherd your family. Shepherd the church. Be an example for all to follow. Acts 20:28. Pay careful attention to yourself and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. John Flavel said this, a prudent minister will study the souls of people more than the best human books in his library, and not choose what is easiest for him, but what is most necessary for them. Ministers are acquainted with the state of their flocks as they ought to be, will be seldom at a loss in the choice of the next subject. Their people's needs will choose their texts for them. This will direct us to the great doctrines of conviction, regeneration, and faith, and will make us sit thoughtfully in our studies, asking, Lord, what course shall we take and what words shall we use that best convey the sense of their sin and danger with the fullness and necessity of Christ to their hearts? So know the flock. And know the word. 1 Timothy 4:16, keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing you will save both yourself and your hearers. Many a godly men have strayed because they have not had accountability. Many godly men have strayed because they have failed to keep a close watch on their own life. And they have not examined the scriptures enough. 1 Peter 5. So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. Not for shameful gain, but eagerly. Not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Congregation, Hebrews 13:17, obey your leaders and submit to them. If they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account, let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. So foundation, obey your leaders and submit to them as they are faithful to obey the word of God and submit to the Lord. Blake, you are keeping watch over the souls here. And one day you will have to give an account to the Lord for those souls. It's a scary thing. And I would lie to you if I say it doesn't haunt me. Sometimes it keeps you up at night. concern for people in their walk with the Lord, but continue to lead them, feed them the Word of God, care for them, shepherd them with as much strength as you can as you are on your knees praying for the Lord to sustain you and to sustain them. Protect the flock. Fourthly, fulfill your calling. Finish well. Finish well. As I came over here to pastor this church, I remember gathering together a bunch of pastors in the area, asking them one thing. They were 25, 30, 40 years older than myself, asking them, how did you finish well? That's what I want to do. Many start, very few finish. The men that were involved in my ordination, not one of them are still running that race. The many men that I sat next to in seminary, they're no longer serving. Many start, very few finish, and even fewer finish well. Longevity, make this a goal of yours. Ministry is a marathon, it's not a sprint. So recognize when you've had enough and you need to take a break and you just need to rest and pray. Think often about the God who has saved you. He is also the one who has gifted you. He is the one who has called you. He is the one who's going to sustain you. So continue to get on your knees before the Lord and to pray. Fulfill your calling. Finish well. If you will, congregation, turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Let's be reminded. 1 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. The saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and falling into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders, so that he may not fall into disgrace, into a snare of the devil. Many people think these qualifications are just for when the individual is being ordained or called to be a pastor, but these qualifications must be present tense. And these qualifications will only continue if the man abides in the Word of God, the man is a man who is praying, begging the Lord to do a great work in him, and the man is preaching the Word of God. And we, Foundation Baptist Church, promise to encourage you and to hold you accountable to these qualifications, Blake, just as they do me. We are extremely thankful that this church is no longer, as many have said, in a deficient state, especially me. We are blessed to have a plurality of elders here at Foundation. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the great work that you have done in this church. Father, thank you for saving this church. Over the last 6 years, you have done a marvelous work of spiritual maturity, of drawing men and women outside these walls to share the gospel in the community, of giving us a greater understanding of the gospel, giving us a greater understanding of your holy word. Father, we recognize that is not our strength, it is yours. Thank you for blessing this church and for all that you have done. Thank you for the gifting that you have gifted to every man and woman here who has been born again. How you have used their gifts to encourage and strengthen and edify this body. Lord, and we thank you for the calling that you have placed on Blake's life. Father, we thank you for Kate, how she faithfully encourages him and loves him and supports him in this endeavor that she not only knows what he does, but she loves what he does. What a joy that is. Father, thank you for his children. We continue to pray for the salvation of his children, as I know he is deeply concerned for them and he cares for them. Father, thank you for what you are doing and what you will continue to do in and through the members of this church. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So Blake and Kate, if you will, for a brief moment, I know that you don't like either one of you being in the spotlight, but come up here for a brief moment. We have some gifts to give you from the church. So we know you're getting old, so this is a large print Bible, so you can use that as you're preaching the Word of God. And then here's a certificate of ordination, nothing special, but we're thankful for you. And Kate, we know that Blake could not do what he does without a supportive wife. Need lots of different things throughout the year, so this will hopefully get you started as you go. And so we are very thankful for what the Lord is doing in and through y'all here at Foundation. So praise be to God for that. And so y'all can be seated. And if Mike Samuels, if you can make your way up here, he's going to lead us in a time of prayer, and then Blaine McCamey will close us.